Hello out there.
Hello.
Yes, people p join. What's the word? Populate? No, that's not right.
Pop
I don't know the
in.
lingo. Pop in? Sure. This is the funny thing. I'm just going to jump right in. Well, and then as people come in, we'll explain who you are, maybe, so in case they're curious. But I did a little editing thing on, editing live stream thing on TikTok, on my TikTok account or whatever, just mainly as like a co-working thing. Yay, she's populated Megatron. Welcome here. I had it running as like a the phone, so it's just kind of like accountability to the random person that might be watching. They couldn't see my screen, it's just like my face as I'm reacting, and then sometimes people would comment. But and now I had a brain fart as to why I was brought that up in the first place. But the randomness of people stopping in, viewing the stream, and then not knowing if they're actually sticking around. At least you kind of have a rough idea with Twitch, sorry. Because you can see the viewer count go up, and presumably, if they've commented and there's one, it's probably still her. But that's like the we're going to talk about this later, and I'm already jumping ahead. But like the sort of imposter syndrome of just streaming in general, of talking to your computer, not knowing if anybody's there, and overcoming that is like I think. I'm guessing for a lot of people, myself included, is like 90% of the battle. Like, we can say it's about like figuring out the tech and what do I do with this and all that kind of stuff. But like, turning on the camera and seeing that number go from 1 to 0 and then sit there for 15 minutes and you're like, why am I doing this? So, anyways, that's kicking it off.
That is the number one thing I will tell people. I was just helping a friend set up her stream yesterday. I say, number one tip from me personally, I do not view the viewer count. I get very intimidated. I cannot deal with knowing if no one's watching or one person's watching. I just won't do it. And I've been streaming for 6 years and I still don't use it. Some people do. Some people like to see the viewers pop in, know who's there. Yeah, Meg, you agree. So it really is personal preference, but it makes me nervous. So I turned it
Yeah.
off.
It's probably something too where I'm not like we'll get into maybe viewer counts or whatever, but like you have done it long enough where you have a community where you know most likely someone's going to show up, like even like your boyfriend streams as well. So maybe if nothing else, you can get the sympathy viewer from a partner or whatever, and that even helps too. I tried to pitch my kids to be like, hey, can you check out my stream and make sure it's working? And they're like, why? I want to watch YouTube. Can't even get my kids to watch or check it out. But
Oh.
anyways, but so we'll get into all of that in a second. Welcome if you're coming in here and joining this random little talk showy podcasty thing. Oh, did I even set the category right? I hope I did.
It says talk shows and podcasting,
Okay,
so I think
I
you
guess we're good.
did it.
So this is I'm Chris, host of this channel, and this is Binary Digit, who I was trying to remember exactly where and how. I think it was like a Mastodon post, maybe, or something. You had a
Yeah.
lot, yeah, like where I
So
first came across
I'm
you.
Binary Digit. My first name is Liz. People know me as Liz as well. Or the nickname B, which is the most popular way to call me. So feel free to call me B. I remember seeing Chris on, I think, Mastodon or Microblog. I had a short
Oh,
moment of
yes.
using Microblog, the service. It's a website blogging service. And I saw Chris and I was like, oh, he seems really cool. He does podcasts and edits podcasts and all that stuff. So I followed you. And then when I got rid of Microblog, I left you on Mastodon and we just chatted back and forth. And yeah, we became friends and here we are. And you joined the Discord. So I'm
Yeah,
grateful for you joining.
yeah, you're. I'm always interested in people who are doing live streaming stuff just as a technology, never mind what they're doing, like whether it's gaming or this kind of podcasty stuff. Or I have some clients who kind of do it for their software developers, and so they stream what they're coding and working on and stuff. It's all just kind of fun, interesting tech. This being an older person on the web, I remember 10, 15 years ago where just the idea of like putting your camera and streaming it to the web was like magic. And I still think of it as kind of magical, and that's why I think I still am drawn to it, even if, like we said, the view count isn't there and there's no monetary business goal here or whatever. It's just kind of like for fun. So that's what I think was kind of drawn to your community, which Cozy Chaos Arcade, right, is sort of your brand of the Discord community, right? And yeah, just kind of like for fun with a little bit of like, hey, support us, and it'd be neat if you did, but not like, please support us or else or whatever the the vibe is. So how do you where did Cozy Chaos Arcade come from, and kind of what's the reasoning behind it, or how do you build that community?
So there are many iterations of the Discord. Before me and my partner Keith met, we had our own Discords because we were both individual streamers on our own communities. And we both, after getting to know each other, we both realized we like all sorts of games, including cozy ones like Stardew and Animal Crossing, and just kind of very relaxed, chill games, or what we call chaotic games, which are like first-person shooters like Call of Duty, Counter-Strike, horror, whatever. And then to avoid all the backstory, we combined Discords. We made one big Discord because we started dating and figured we have the same people in each Discord. Why not combine them? And after, I would say, a few years, it wasn't in the beginning, but after a few years, we decided, and Mag helped with this idea too. It's Magatron in the chat. Cozy Chaos was a popular theme amongst other Twitch streamers, and we decided to kind of take that idea and just call ourselves Cozy Chaos Discord, or Cozy Chaos Arcade or whatever. So yeah, we just are a community of people who like all sorts of games pretty much, and we just thought it was cute to call it Cozy Chaos. Because some days we are very relaxed and play community games together, like Stardew Valley, or I don't know, can't think of other examples. Waiting Line at TwitchCon. Oh yeah, that's right, Meg. We thought of
Is that?
it while waiting line at
Oh, okay.
TwitchCon
Yeah. Gotcha.
last year. I couldn't remember when we started it. Hi,
Yeah.
Pixel. There's my dog. So, yeah. And then chaos is, of course, because we sometimes like to be chaotic and play very fast-paced action games.
Yeah.
And we try not to be toxic. But anyway, so I'm very grateful to have this group of friends who I've met over the last like 5, 6 years. Basically started during COVID, during the pandemic. And that's how I met Keith, who is now my partner. But we met online in Twitch, and we met other people who had other communities, and all Twitch is very heavy networking. So yeah, we all found each other, and I'm very grateful we're all in our Discord, and we talk every day. And yeah, now you're a part of it too. So
Yeah, it's a neat thing that like I mean I try to I'll, we won't go too far into the like meeting someone on Twitch and that's then you that's your dating or whatever and then that whole that's the love story of Twitch, but it's a funny thing that I think some people are like it's so foreign to them that that would even happen in their world, but then obviously for others like yourself and I'm aware of it too, obviously, like it's very familiar and you can see it happening all the time, obviously, and especially in 2025. It's not like we're back in the 90s here and it's weird that people are meeting online or whatever. So that's really cool though. And that's definitely like it's evident through the even joining it and like there's like a learning curve to joining a community where you're like the new person in and you're trying to figure out what's the like the lore or the history, who knows who. And I was confused by who actually knew who in real life and kind of like, or whatever and all that kind of stuff. And you kind of just get to know the lay of the land, obviously, just by lurking for a while. And it's also dangerous because, it makes me want to buy a gaming PC that I'm stuck on a Mac here, self-inflicted, obviously, but it's not like this
join us.
sob story, but like, yeah, everyone's playing these fun games. And, I always go look and like, oh, no Mac version, which is, I mean, that's the way it is, obviously. But how did you one of I'm going jumping all over the place here, obviously, but how did you sort of land on Discord? Is it just because it's like sort of the default almost for Twitch? It kind of seems to go together very well, or is there was there ever thought to like something else besides that as just the tech software to use for community building?
Yeah, I would say it came from the roots of gaming, really. I joined Discord back in, I think, 2017 or 2018 when I was looking for a community online. I've always kind of been, as an elder millennial or Gen X or young Gen Xer, I've been chronically online since the 90s, since the late 90s. And since my life was changing, I won't go into it, but I was kind of switching around things and got a new job and was having a new life, so to speak, newly single at the time. I was looking for hobbies to get back into. So I was like, I miss gaming. I haven't gamed since I was a kid, really. I want to learn how to play shooters. I want to learn how to whatever. I was like, let me try to find gamers on Twitter, back when Twitter was cool and that was the main place to be. I remember looking on Twitter for gaming people, and I found this community manager who was super cool. I won't mention him, but he had a podcast, funny enough, and then they had a Discord. I was like, oh, I've heard of Discord, let me join it. So I joined Discord then, and I've been a member since, I don't know, 2018 or so. And since then, I started gaming with that group of people, who I still keep in touch with, a couple of people in my Discord now. So that was like, I realized that was the main place where all gamers pretty much converged. I think before that it was like TeamSpeak or something, but I never used it.
Right.
But Discord's like the default, I think, for gamers nowadays, and has been forever. So that's how it came about. And then, yeah, everyone I know has a Discord handle and a login. So
yeah,
we all meet there, and it's our hanging spot.
Sweet. And then stepping to the streaming side of it, why the common question I see, or that even I have too, is like Twitch and YouTube, obviously, are the two of the bigger streaming platforms. And there's definitely like, I feel a vibe change of like, even though it's technically like we could be streaming this exact same thing on YouTube and or Twitch or Kick or any number of platforms, but there's definitely like, in terms of YouTube and Twitch, let's just sort of lock in on those two. There's definitely sort of a feeling, a vibe that's different on the platforms. Mm-hmm. And so why would you like, what I often see is people say just coast, like not co-stream, dual stream or whatever to both. And, you know, try and reach the biggest audience. And but a lot of people I see on Twitch are exclusive to Twitch for not for any legal reason, but just they specifically chose that. So why would you not do YouTube, let's say, I guess, in sort of trying to reach more people? Or is there any reason?
I think because Twitch has its own community, has its own vibe as a website, even from join in 2014, 2015.
Oh, just got a follower, a guy named Keith.
Hey, Keith. Some guy named Keith.
Yeah. I might have to block
him. Hello. So what was I saying? So Twitch has its own community, its own like culture, its own way of speaking, its own just founders, its whole thing. And the main thing about Twitch, it's discoverability. I think is since it was in the beginning times focused on gamers and gaming and things like that. Never heard of that one. Oh yeah. Ben. Sorry, I get distracted. So so Twitch, since in the beginning times, I think it was focused on IRL gaming, stuff like that. I think a lot of people gravitate towards that if they start streaming while they're gaming or doing something on a computer, like coding or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I think YouTube, if you were a YouTuber from the start, like a content creator or a YouTuber or however you want to call yourself, if you were there on YouTube originally and you want to live stream, then you can live stream on YouTube. But this discoverability is not there, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If you go on YouTube, it's hard to find anyone who's gaming, anyone who's doing music, anyone like DJs aren't really that popular on YouTube. Gamers aren't. There are gamers. There are big content creators on there. But to find them is tough. It's more for offline video, you know, of offline channels, subscriptions, things like that. And then Kick is a new one that came out, and I'm not a fan of Kick just because reasons.
Yeah.
I think that's why it depends what you want to do. If you want to have a community of people who are kind of more interested in the categories that you're interested in, do it on Twitch. It's more focused for live streaming, and then YouTube is good for offline video.
Right.
It's just kind of how it rolls.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's definitely, I've always found it sort of like I think YouTube didn't used to have live streaming, first of all, I think even way back in the day, if we go far enough back, and Twitch did. But I think of it as like Twitch is the live version and then YouTube is the archive of I do a light edit of this exact thing and put it on my YouTube channel and see what happens with it there. It's kind of like the way I back up the video whether it gets watched or not, or I can reference it later or whatever, it saves space in my hard drive, if nothing else. And kind of give it a permanent home beyond this. Do you do like some of your live streams that you do, like when you're playing games and stuff, do you archive them in any way like that to YouTube, or is it just like you're there and then it's done or whatever?
I archive, I would say 80% of my VODs, the Twitch VOD, onto YouTube as a private channel. Because I don't really want my VODs out there because I'm really goofy and whatever. I don't know. I only have a curated, very few set of videos on YouTube. And even then, I kind of change it around because my main focus was never YouTube. I was never like a content creator, so to speak. I kind of hate the term. But just because I just live stream, I'm kind of random. But YouTube, I tried to curate. Like, I have a couple of DJ sets on there. I have a couple of travel videos. I have some really old, like, modifying a fight stick video that went popular. So I think if I edited my Twitch live stream more, I would make a, like you do, I make a smaller video that's a little bit more curated and kind of a professional, but edited, and then throw it up on YouTube as like a portfolio piece or just a place that people can reference, reference what I do. Also, if I was wanting to be a bigger content creator and if I didn't have a full-time job, I would probably spend more time in making actual YouTube videos because that's how you grow. It's, you don't really grow on Twitch alone. You kind of grow on social media and YouTube and things like that. So,
right.
Yeah. But yes, yeah. I do save my stuff just privately. And then if I want to share it, I share it either in a private link or I make it public so people can find it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually one of the things I think I appreciate about Twitch is, and they've gone back and forth on this over the years, I'm sure, but like, as of recently, anyways, it feels like they're very, like, I saw it even somewhere on a blog post or maybe a talk from the CEO of, like, you do need to have a life outside of Twitch. Like, we don't expect you to be just a Twitch person or a Twitch creator or whatever, your streamer. And I think whereas YouTube feels like we want to be your everything and we want you to just, like, keep eyeballs on YouTube. And that's how we make our money, obviously. And so we just want you on YouTube. And doesn't feel as sort of friendly to other platforms and just the internet in general, whereas Twitch feels very much more like a fun playground to hang out in and like promote, cross promote and share and be goofy. And then it's not the if YouTube is sort of more corporate it almost feels like, and Twitch is slightly less or something.
Exactly. Twitch is the very like I don't know, little brother of YouTube, kind of. I don't know,
the goofy cousin or whatever. That's
goofy cousin. Yeah,
hasn't quite grown up yet maybe.
Because I think it's because YouTube is, once you have a video there, it's kind of meant to stay there as the archive and you can see changes as you progress on YouTube. But Twitch is very, is it effervescent or whatever? Like very temporary.
Yeah.
If you want it to be, you can have your VOD up there for 7 days, 14 days, and then it's gone. Or you can keep it up there with a limited amount of storage and people can reference it or not.
Yeah. It's always been a funny one to me. Like before I understood sort of the community aspect of Twitch and just the emotion behind being on Twitch, I guess, the idea that Amazon owns Twitch and Amazon is also the owner or the creator or whatever of S3, which is storage for the internet. Like half the internet is stored on Amazon S3 buckets all over the web, but yet they don't give any storage to Twitch to save or much. Anyways, it's not, they're not gaming to be the YouTube of, you know, archiving everybody's video. They want to be the live moment thing. And even though they technically have the back end for it, but
I do find that interesting because I never understood that either. I was like, S3 and just the storage, is that's their thing. Like, why don't they give Twitch A more room for better bandwidth, 4K video, higher bitrate, whatever? Because YouTube is really great for that. If you do live stream on YouTube, you can live stream on YouTube 4K 60 whatever, and it'll look amazing. Whereas they don't really put that on Twitch for some reason. Don't know the reason behind that, but I feel like, and then they just recently have set a storage limit for Twitch uploads anyway. Oh, hey Callie.
Callie, thanks for the follow.
I'm surprised as well.
Yeah, I always felt, I know there's like business reasons and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure, but that's beyond, above my pay grade anyway, so.
Same, yeah.
The one, Amazon, speaking of things that
more
they...
storage.
Yeah, they, because there's, oh yeah, actually with that, just briefly, there's, Twitch has like Turbo and I forgot the payment options, but like, so paying for that gives you a bit more storage, right? And then also allows you to not, or doesn't, lets you see videos without as many commercials, I think is the.
So I have Twitch Turbo. I subscribe because I'm on Twitch all day long. I just bounce around to different channels. And so if you purchase Twitch Turbo as a subscription, you get no ads whatsoever on any channel that you visit. And then the streamer who you watch gets a little bit of revenue still from you watching. Also included with, Twitch Turbo is separate to Twitch, to Prime. Twitch Turbo is more for your benefit, so you don't get ads and then the streamer can get revenue, as far as I'm aware. And then there's a separate thing, of course, which is Amazon Prime that you can link your account to, and then you can have one free subscription to give to a streamer if you so desire.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And I have both.
Yeah. Which we'll get, maybe I'll get into that. I want to go through a bit of the Twitch dashboard, even just my own. And I don't think there's anything legally that I'm or private that I'm going to reveal there. But anyways, hey, Annie, okay? Or I never know how to, I always like pronouncing people's usernames out loud, and then I barf on them, and probably anyways. But the like anybody who has Amazon Prime, I'm sure the viewers who watch this on Twitch already know this, but like if you have Amazon Prime, you can go to any Twitch channel, set up an account once you have a Twitch account, and then link Amazon to Twitch, and then you can do a little subscription to a channel for a month at a time, and it gives the creator, the streamer, a cut of that Prime, mm-hmm. as well as gives you potentially benefits on that channel. So it's like a very low friction, easy way, if you're already paying for Prime, to help some random creator that you might follow, or just throw it at a random channel you see or whatever for a month, and then do it again next month. And so it's an interesting model they do. Like I think I like it, but it's also weird how you have to like go back every month. Sometimes you want to just be like, I just want to support this person until I stop paying for Prime, let's say. But I do like how it kind of forces you to like think about it each time and say, who do I want to grace with my $2 a month, whatever it ends up being, out of the Prime pool. But still, every little bit helps. So
yeah, and there's overlays and plugins in the browser that will remind you that you have it available. So that's not all bad. You can it's nice because you can just bounce around to different channels every month and support a different person with your Prime if you need to.
A bird drums. Good morning. These are all people I think from Cozy Chaos, your Discord, right? So far.
Yeah. I don't know if Annie is, but Annie might be from Mastodon, if it's the Annie I'm thinking of. Hello, either way. Welcome.
This is where... Oh, yeah.
Mastodon, so, yeah. Hello.
The I clam up on the chat, interacting with chat, and then my brain sort of farts on trying to remember who I know from where and what they're from. But yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
And then finally, what was the other thing I was going to... Oh, yeah, Twitch Stories is a new feature that Twitch is doing-ish, new-ish, just like everybody else, they have stories. And is that like... That's just like a, hey, I'm going to go live. I see, like, Megatron uses it for, you know, this is my schedule for the week. I've seen Keith's, too. Like, kind of just as a way of, like, putting yourself in front. Do you... there isn't a lot of discoverability. It seems like it's probably just for people who follow you already or subscribe to you or whatever. So do you see, when you post that kind of stuff, is it worth doing? Is it like the number of views or the number of people you watching them or looking at them or whatever? Is it worthwhile, or does it feel like a feature that's kind of like a little bit lacking?
In my opinion, I think it's a feature that they just, like any other tech company, trying to copy from others, like Instagram Stories. So Instagram Stories is, I think they were the first people to do it. Where you can put,
maybe
Snapchat. Kind of yeah, Snapchat, it's been a long time since I used Snapchat. Either way, whoever thought of it first, they're just copying each other at this point. Yeah. So I feel like Twitch Stories are a little bit kind of pointless because you're there on Twitch already following and watching people that you know. But it gives you, it could give people more context into your channel if you do it as a story. A lot of people just post a photo and like, hey, this is my schedule, or this is what happened last time, and they post a clip, which is fine. But to me, the word story, just like kind of like an Instagram story, it's meant to show a small story of like little video clips or photos of a theme or a story of some sort. But not everyone uses it that way. And I don't really use it. I tend to forget because since it doesn't interface with Instagram or, I don't know, Blue Sky or anything else, it's just another platform to have to pop in a photo or video. And it's also not as developed as like Instagram Story or Snapchat or whatever. So I tend to not use it when I am streaming more consistently. I don't know. I don't know if it helps.
Mag said she uses it to, since she doesn't have a Discord, to send alerts to, so she uses those stories to alert followers. And that's, I've seen yours a lot, Megan. That's it's a neat way of like, because it is hard to, I think, especially for anybody who's not like, I work from home, you work from home, and so it's easy enough for us to like throw on a browser window and just have a thing playing when someone goes live, just like randomly get the notification or whatever. But for a lot of folks who aren't obviously that way, like are in an office or whatever and would need to plan around, you know, potentially someone going live or whatever, it is kind of a handy way to like throw that in there if they happen to check Twitch on their phone or whatever. And so
and it was useful when I wasn't on main social media, being on the small web and all that. I tried to avoid it, so it was nice to see like Mag's story or whoever was on, like say the schedule, if they weren't on a different social media, like Twitch at the moment was my social media. So It's not always not useful. It's just, it's a duplicate of other stuff. So.
So actually speaking of that, like off Twitch sort of ideas, do you have an idea of when someone should start building a community outside of a live stream? So like just, I have like connections with people. I'm in other communities and just using my little dinky channel here as an idea or a thought, but like, cause I don't really have any big goals with this, but like when and how and why would I consider like setting up a Discord, which I do actually have already, but when would someone set up a Discord community or some sort of off Twitch thing as a way of like building momentum or building community around what they're doing live?
So. I told this to, funny enough, I was helping Kelly with her stream setup, and I was telling her the very honest truth. It is a big responsibility to start a Discord community if you want a community. You have to be ready for it. A lot of people, they use Discord in different ways. So Discord can be just a way for like you and a couple buddies to like be in a VC and have a channel or two for memes or whatever. But if you want to have a community, an actual place for people to congregate outside of your stream, then having a Discord server is probably a good idea, but it's a lot of work. If you're the only administrator of that server, you kind of have to live on Discord all the time because there's going to be bots, there's going to be random people that show up and you're like, where did you find my Discord link from? There's two of us in our Discord, the admins, me and Keith, and it can be a lot of work if we had our links out there all the time. Luckily, it's only a kind of a few select people who, as we say, pass the vibe check. They seem really cool and stuff. But sometimes we'll get a person and it's either a bot or someone who's just there to lurk. And a lot of people share personal photos and personal things. And you have to just be aware of how open you want everyone to be. You have to make sure, do you want it to be 18 plus? Do you want it to be allowed? Do you want to allow people who are under 18, like 13, 14, 15 teenagers and stuff? So it's a lot to think about and it's a lot to kind of be, I don't want to say, it is kind of you're responsible for the behavior that goes in there and also for the people that show up, because sometimes there are people who don't agree with how you run things, and it is absolutely okay and it's absolutely important for you to put your foot down and either kick them or ban them if they don't agree with the way you run your Discord. It's just like anything else, right? In a business, like there's freedom of speech, but then there's also a way to conduct yourselves like at a place of work or places like school or something, or at a friend's house. If you're coming into a location such as like even a Discord server, which is online, you have to kind of respect the rules of that Discord server. And if you're going to run a Discord, you have to kind of prepare and set up a vibe or a community of some rules of some sort so that you keep things under control, because things can get very hairy and out of control very quickly. And then you might have to shut it down. So which isn't a big deal, but it's just a lot of work and it's a lot of responsibility. So just be aware, if you do put a Discord link in your Twitch channel to open up your community, you might get a lot of different characters. So
yeah,
just make a list and kind of have an idea of what you want it to be.
Yeah, almost coming up with like a, to like, this is maybe more grandiose, but like mission statement or like purpose or vision or whatever kind of thing for it in advance of, so then you know kind of like these are the guardrails sort of, like we're okay with people posting pictures of their dog but not pictures of their whatever. and that's, I think, a credit to you and Keith in terms of the community you've built there, is like the people obviously do feel very safe and whatever, comfortable in posting things to their like family life stuff, as well as, you know, just joking memes and all that kind of stuff. And I think definitely there's a temptation, I think, for people who look at that, at the community you've built there, you know, and then also the support that you give each other financially, like supporting in bits and whatever, their subs and all the things. And people look at that and think, oh, if I just turn on Discord and set it up and put the link, I'll have that too. And yeah, time and again, I think we've seen, if you've been on the internet long enough, you've seen how community isn't just like a thing you check the box for and then it just happens. And yeah, yes, it's the amount of work that even just you two do to maintain the community, never mind. Like, you've obviously, I would imagine there's sort of a tipping point where it does get big enough or well established enough so that the community kind of helps police itself in a way, or at least alerts you to. But in the initial phase, kind of like whoever joins helps define the community, and you may not like the kind of people that join just because they happen to click a link, right? So was there some of that early days for you?
Luckily, since we put ours together, we kind of individually, I don't want to speak for Keith, but we individually had to sort through our own people and own type of community. But I'm pretty sure we naturally had the same ideas when we joined ours. But I've definitely had some people join where I'm just like, this is not cool. You're not welcome to do that here or whatever. Or, you know, or you're too young, or because we're adults, right? We're all in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. We just don't talk about the same things that a 14-year-old would, or we might post something that's a little NSFW or whatever. So what was my point? My point was you brought up a good point where it's not just a matter of creating a server and putting a link and just hope for the best, because another good point about Discord is you have to be active in it in order for people to come back to it and want to chat in there, because a lot of people create a Discord link, never check it, never look, spam bots come in, young people, whatever, you know, crazy other variations of people and types of things come in, and it's just chaos, and it's not great, and it will never thrive, and it won't grow bigger. And you have to watch out for it. If it does get bigger, you have to kind of curate it and maintain it, and it's a lot of work. So I don't know if I answered your question.
Totally. I think it harkens back, like I've said, to different, whether it's Discord or insert, you know, whatever software you're using, doesn't really matter. But community building online, where you're like trying to do that, it's like kind of like building a garden or developing a garden or whatever, where you have to like pull out some weeds and ban some whatever bugs. I don't know, the analogy breaks down, obviously. Metaphor breaks down. And water it and keep it going. And hey, Horror Cat, thanks for the follow. Horror Cat, make sure I'm saying that right. And that's, I think, a testament. Even the folks who are following right now would be a lot of the people who've been in that community. And so it's just a very generous, once you kind of pass the vibe check. Obviously, not everyone just gets the benefits of being in the community just because they join it. Like Meg said, she's been hesitant in creating one because sometimes it's nice to just shut off before and after a stream. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And reaping the benefits, as it were, of like the work you and Keith have done, not in a bad way, but like being able to just like come in, join a safe place, effectively go to the lounge or the bar or whatever, or the restaurant that you've set up, and hang out for a while. And relax, knowing that it's, you know, a safe place to chill and be there. So,
and I am very, very sorry.
No, I was gonna say thanks to Horror Cat for the follow, and she's working, looks like, so can't say, but anyways,
I just want to say thanks for everyone who's in chat saying that, because that means a lot. It means a whole lot, because it's like I said, I'm chronically online, I've always been like that, and I'm grateful to have met someone else and also friends who. People who we consider friends who we've met in real life because of Discord and Twitch and stuff and conferences and things. And I feel very grateful that they all feel safe to join into a little home on the web, so to speak, whether it be Discord or social media or whatever. So it means a lot.
Yeah, it's very cool. And speaking of actually in real life stuff, so I know there's like TwitchCon that happens every year, and that's one touch point for where you guys have connected. In person, is the is there intentional other points, or kind of just as life happens, you know if you happen to be visiting a city or whatever, traveling somewhere, then you might interact, or is there other sort of intentional community gatherings that you've tried over the years in real
space? TwitchCon was the most natural because we were all Twitch streamers. And then if we have an interest in something, like say for example we just went to Combo Breaker, which is a fighting game tournament convention. I didn't really put it out there because it was just something me and my boyfriend were going to go to, because it was a goal of mine to go. But I know other friends did show interest in going. So maybe next year I'll be like, hey, we're planning on going to Combo Breaker as like a meetup / going to convention kind of thing. This is what the cost will be. This is the dates. These are the dates. If you want to come, we can totally meet there or try to get to the same hotel together or whatever. So it's very like go with the flow type of scenario. I know we've talked about doing other trips besides TwitchCon, so hopefully it's hard because everyone's like around the country and around the world. As you know, like we're from two different countries and it's awesome that we're chatting. So but we've had friends from other countries, Canadians come over and other people. We have someone far away in the chat that hopefully can come visit, or we're gonna go visit her kind of thing. People have driven many hours to come visit us, which I'm really grateful for. So yeah, it's very, however, very go with the flow. And if we know it's going to be a big event, we'll throw it out there and be like, hey, we plan to go to XYZ. Here is upfront what it will cost, and these are the dates. And if you want to meet up, that's cool. If not, we will just see each other there, sort of things. Hopefully we can do that more now that people are traveling more and kind of, doing their thing. Because we need to escape, and it's nice to meet up with friends. BirdCon,
What's
there we
bird?
go.
And then Cali, it said 9 hours wasn't that long to drive, which is definitely that's awesome. That's a testament to, again, the community built, not to be all mushy and whatever for
That's okay. I'm a very mushy person, so I will not apologize for it.
It is a testament to the community built that obviously people are willing to pop in other streams and hype you guys up. So one thing that's kind of interesting, that just from a web nerd standpoint, and this is more because I was actually just building more mush, I was putting together notes on this, and I like when I have a guest on, whether it's this or other podcasts I've done, I kind of build it like, here's how you find them. I'll put the YouTube archive, I'll put links to your Twitch channel, of course, and your socials and whatever. But like, if someone was wanting to, if I was like, hey, you should really join this community, Crazy Co Chaos, I was my brain farts on it. Crazy Chaos Arcade.
Yeah, Cozy Chaos is fine. Don't
Is there
worry.
like a there isn't like a website or like a thing to go to? You sort of go to Twitch and then find the community that way? Is that sort of the
Yeah, we didn't like make a certain point like to have a website or anything focal, because the point of entry is our Twitch channels. Either anyone in the chat or anyone who's part of the community, that's kind of like it's me and Keith's server, but anyone can join it through friends. And of course, we have everyone join and play games together in our voice channels and stuff. So absolutely you can. We have like a public link that we can share and post, but we don't have like a website or anything to have as a point of entry. 'Cause the whole point is if you come into our Twitch channels to get to know us, and then we all kind of get to know you back, like fellow streamers who know each other, then we all kind of cohesively say, hey, join this Discord if you want to play games with us or whatever, and that kind of naturally happens. So
And it's
yeah.
not the like big, like, again, going back to the which I agree is kind of a gross term, the content creator or whatever kind of person business model or whatever, of just like marketing and let everybody in and as many people as possible, because you need views and you need whatever. And so yeah, it helps definitely keep that community there for, again, around the purpose of sort of support, but also like we're all in this for the similar reasons, so, which is very
I think
cool.
that's a just one more point. I think that's a good point. Since we're not like content creators, quote unquote, first, we are people who happen to stream because we love games or music or IRL travel or whatever. The community part is kind of first, and then the content stuff is like secondary. Whereas people who have the focus of being a content creator or YouTuber or whatever first, I feel like their Discord and community is a bit secondary, naturally, because they are the focus for their, it's a business essentially, right? You're focusing on your business first. And then you do want community because you want people to support you financially or whatever. But since that's not our goal, like my goal is not to make money on Twitch, it's to meet people and genuinely find connections with others. Because I am very grateful and I have a full-time job and I don't need the financial support primarily, right? Not everyone has that. Some people have the primary focus on having their Twitch channel and social media and stuff as their focal point. So I think that's the reason why it kind of works as well. It's like we are in a fortunate place where the community is kind of first to like have friendships and have support, like mental health support, and not even financial support. We don't care if you sub or anything or throw spits. That is not the point. We'd rather just get to know you and show the love, so to speak. So just two different purposes there. So
Going back to a comment I put up on screen but skipped past, was Callie saying be you or her online safety checker. She asks you for advice and all sorts of stuff, which is, yeah, cool. I assume that's, yeah, from meeting her in, meeting them in the community and not like, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to get into a little bit of like sort of tech nerdy stuff here as well. Sorry, Meg, we're going to skip away from the mush for a moment. we'll get there back there at the end.
I'll always squeeze in some mush.
There's a, I don't have the clip things set up, but yeah.
People can still manually clip, so don't worry. Oh, right. And you can clip afterwards if you need to.
Yes. Yeah, that much I've done. I've managed to figure that part out, which I make it sound like I've never, I've been on Twitch for like 10 years or I don't know how long, like a long time. And I just kind of pop in and then try it for a little bit, get overwhelmed and, or abandon it or whatever and go back. And so this has been more of a concerted effort this year of just like, no, this is actually a fun way, whether it's for mental health of like co-working and community or also just the tech fun of just figuring out stuff and getting better at a at this thing for a variety of reasons. So anyways, I'm not a complete idiot when it comes to this stuff, but it is also fun to sort of see it through other people's eyes who have done it more intentionally for longer and with whether whatever measure of success you call that, but just like having a good run at it. So I'm gonna switch to the desktop view here, and hopefully this will be big enough for you to see.
Mm-hmm.
As well as
nice and big on the other screen.
Oh yeah, there you go, that's perfect.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm not gonna see here, let's just check out where the comments are going. This group is such good peeps, bunch of smarty pants comedians. Yeah, so basically, like, we're not going to run through everything. I have it sort of listed as if we are going to, but we'll just kind of touch on what's worth touching on, I guess. And I'll try to keep up with comments, too, that are either questions that people might have as we... Actually, I'm just going to shrink this one window. Oh, went too far. Good old Mac. I should turn on the overlay so you can see the... It's a little bit chaotic. If someone works in OBS, knows.
If it's the theme, there you go.
Here, I'll show you. Yeah. So for anybody who's ever, this, the streaming software I use is called Ecamm Live. It's a Mac only version or Mac only software, which is great. I'm a Mac person. I have a Mac Studio computer, et cetera. It works great. But it is like this older style Mac thing of like these, all these windows everywhere. And I haven't even done the sound effects. Why am I not doing that? Anyways, obvious reasons. But yeah, so it's a little bit chaotic in terms of overlays all over the place, trying to keep track of what's where. But it does function really well. The reason why I use it, I've said this before, is it's a thing I use. This looks like a nightmare to me. It is, but it's like, it helps me in terms of like when I open OBS, it's like, ooh, there's so many things I could fiddle with here. And this is like, I just turn it on, hit stream and it works. And that's maybe more Mac side than Windows OBS experience too. But that's why it works for me. Plus the calling thing is built in, which is how B is coming in live on there. And it works really well that way, but not for everyone, obviously. But okay, so where was I? Oh yes, we're going to talk Twitch dashboard. So I don't even know where to start. Oh yeah, the stream manager thing. I just happened to notice this last time. I hadn't even seen this. There's like, you can do different layouts. Is that a thing people are doing, or is that kind of just?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, I mean, it's very personal, right?
Yeah.
I was telling Callie this the other day. I like to use OBS as my focal point for the layout stuff. So in my OBS software, I have my stream preview, I have my activity feed, my chat, and then scene switching and stuff like that, which I could share my screen. I just got to have it open. I don't have it set up right now. But yeah, it's very personal. And then some people, I think Keith has this browser window where he has his stream manager in the Twitch website on a different screen. So he likes to use, not to speak for him, sorry, Keith, but he likes to use the same windows like this on the browser. So it really just depends on how many monitors you have, how your layout. You know, I like to do everything in OBS in one spot on one, because I have two monitors. One monitor is for OBS, the other monitor is for the game or whatever I'm doing. This looks perfectly good. Some people don't want to see the preview, some people do. So, I mean, it's great because you can click and drag any which point around if you need to.
Right.
Three monitors. Yeah, there you go. Big chat on one of them. Yeah, exactly. You definitely want to have, as a Twitch streamer or any streamer, you want to have the chat big so that you follow along because a lot of Twitch streamers I notice aren't as interactive with chat. And it's nice when you are interactive with chat if you do have people chatting to you because that's the whole point of streaming, right? It's interactive.
Yeah.
And then the activity feed's also very important because you want to acknowledge the people who follow you, who subscribe, things like that.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny seeing the delay, obviously, of our movements here. But yeah, it was, I think it was some of my clients actually who do like software development streams where I hadn't even for some reason it felt like even showing this on stream was like a bad thing to, maybe it is with YouTube if you're like showing affiliate money or I don't know whatever, but maybe they don't like you doing that. But some of my software client developer streamers, podcast client streamers, yeah, just have this as like on screen instead of like bothering with widgets and whatever for showing chat and showing things. So, which is just interesting. And then I guess if you customize the layout a little bit more, then you could have it nice for viewers as well. So, cool. Okay, so that was one part of it. And but then getting into alerts, which again, this is where I've got an overlays. So I'm not going to get into the techno side of attaching this to like OBS or whatever streaming software, but like, what kinds of things or what should, if someone's new to this ish, what do you recommend or what do you suggest for how things should appear on screen when things happen in Twitch? Does that make sense?
So I recommend there's two big, you want to have alerts, right? So Twitch has finally released their own alerts, which you have up here. If you click on edit alerts, you can show, I don't know if you want to share your alerts. I'm sure
Oh, it's
it's
fine.
fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing personal. Yeah. So these are, I think, the default Twitch alerts that come in the box, so to speak. So you get a follower alert, subscriber alert if you're affiliate, gifted messages, gifted alerts, bits if people throw bits at you, which is the Twitch currency. Raids, which are other streamers coming into your channel, bringing their community over, all their viewers and stuff. Hype train, which is I think if you hit a certain level of income, like money, it has to be like I forget the rules, but if once it hits like a certain level, the hype train comes in, you get the alert for that. And then you could do channel point redemptions and goals and stuff like that. And then it has some third party things like Throne and Stream Elements. So if someone buys something off of your Throne wish list, you can have an alert for that. So I think the Twitch alerts are the perfect setup for someone who's new to streaming or just wants a really simple layout because they're perfectly acceptable alerts, right? You can customize them, of course, with different fonts, different GIFs, different sounds. To a point, they don't allow any copyrighted sounds because you can try to put like a 10-second song snippet and it's going to get copyright DMCA striked or whatever. So I would say just use the defaults. You basically I think it's a good idea to either have a follower alert. It doesn't have to have sounds because that might be distracting for you. It's either have the follow alert in your chat in the Twitch chat itself, or have it on a screen in a corner somewhere. Some people love to see their name on screen, and some people don't. So there's a whole thing in the community of Twitch where certain people do not have any names show up just because they want to give the chatter privacy if they do follow. And some people want their name to be shown, be like, hey, I want recognition for following your channel, sort of thing. So it really is up to the streamer. It really just depends on your community. I feel like a lot of people who play more cozy games, who are have a lot of lurkers, or people who are comfortable just sitting back, will not have the name of the person chatting who just followed show up on the screen. But if you're just doing whatever kind of games and you acknowledge everyone by nature, you're just that kind of person, then you can have the default and have, Tyler just followed or whatever. So,
And that's at the streamer level, not like me as the viewer. I can't say, please don't show my name or something like that, right?
And a lot of streamers, so you kind of have to, that's the best thing about kind of finding a new Twitch streamer is you watch them for a bit. See how they acknowledge other people, like if they acknowledge the name or if they acknowledge they ask a lot of questions or whatever. If you don't want that attention, you could probably follow them offline or just don't follow them and just move on to someone else. But if you like the way that they handle new follows and things like that, then you follow them and do whatever. You really kind of have to observe for a bit to see if you fit into that kind of community or person's channel. Because they're the ones who are streaming and it's their rules, right? So,
And that's what I think it's a little, it, at first glance, this is very overwhelming in terms of just from a designer, unless you love design and fiddling with fonts and, you know, messaging and copy and stuff. Obviously, you can have lots of fun in here, but it looks a little overwhelming. But like you said, I think just starting with the defaults and then customizing as you figure out what your community looks like. Like I'm Lemon Casting, obviously I could, you know, lean heavily into lemons or whatever and that kind of thing. And then sort of build it as you go. My advice generally with this kind of thing, it feels, if I compare it to podcasting anyways, is like start doing the thing and then figure it out as you go, and you'll get better by episode 10 or stream 10 or whatever. You'll know that actually I need more of this and less of that. And mm-hmm. rather than like sitting and not even streaming, but spending, you know, hours in the alert configuration screens before you even do any streaming. So, for my web nerds, there is like, you can do some customization of HTML and CSS. So if you're a web nerd friend out there, know that that's an option as well in a lot of these alerts. And it's just a browser URL, which I go down in the bottom corner here, that you paste into OBS or Ecamm or whatever streaming software you use, and just basically displays that as effectively it's a web page that's popping up on your stream. But
exactly,
yeah, it's very cool. I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. Interactive on multiple levels. So anything else there on the alerts that's worth pointing out?
Yeah, no, so Twitch has its own alerts finally, which are really great. It also gives you, if you're an affiliate, it gives you a couple of more emote slots because you're using their software to put the alerts up. Mm-hmm. Then there's Stream Elements, which is a popular tool for bot and alert setup. It's very powerful and it's free, and that also has its own alert system built in. And it's similar, you know, in sense of setting it up. It might be a little bit more complicated, but it's been around longer, so it's very, very customizable. And I still have some alerts go through that. But that's nice because it has like a chatbot and some timers and stuff built into their bot. Twitch Alerts doesn't have its own bot. It just has the alerts that show up in the chat and then on the screen. Whereas Stream Elements has a chatbot, so you can have timed commands pop up. You can have people type in commands to respond to you, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, streamelements.com. They even have their own setup with like free overlays and things like that. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. And then themes and stuff, or you can buy them too, I think, if I'm thinking of the right place.
You can buy them. Yeah. You can buy more fancy overlays and things. Yeah.
Yeah. Because back in the day, I remember Twitch didn't have built-in alerts. You had to use something else. And there's a lot of moving parts to get just a thing to appear on the screen back.
And there's also Streamlabs, which is popular too, but that has like more of a subscription model. It has a few free things, but more subscription-based stuff for like the other parts that are built into Stream Elements and Twitch Alerts. So I feel like unless you really are stuck on using Streamlabs, I would just use the free stuff and then build on your look with other graphic packages and things and edit the alerts yourself. So
yeah, and someone in, I forget who it was, I want to give them credit if I remember, but someone was mentioned, or maybe it was Keith actually, who was like, he buys stuff like this through Etsy, which I hadn't really, it just didn't click in my brain as a place to go for. I know of like ThemeForest and other places where you can buy digital stuff. But yeah, Etsy is a good place to.
Yeah, Etsy, Fiverr, Nerd or Die. There's quite a few places. I think Etsy is probably the most popular now because there are a lot of artists that just pop their stuff in there or create these, you know, create packages. You have to be careful because there's a lot of AI floating around. So.
Yeah.
You know, but if you want an actual like artist, I would say go to Fiverr or go to some other artistic website that you can do commissions and actually request certain emotes and things like that if you want, which is what I did in the beginning because Etsy wasn't as popular. And you get better quality things if you obviously pay more money and get an artist to commission them. But Etsy is good if you just want like a themed set of like 18 lemons doing different various poses or whatever, you know? So. Yeah. Yeah.
In the analytics tab, this would be something where like jumping off of the don't look at the viewer number, you kind of don't need to look at this really at much at all, right? Like until you're
unless you're case. Right, unless you're doing this as your business like full time, or you really are focused on numbers and revenue and things like that, then of course look at this tab because it's important to you. For me, it's not that important. It's nice to just browse and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know, I've had a good day because, you know, like say you're a variety streamer and you had different categories that you streamed, like You did, I don't know, some IRL travel and lots of people tuned in. You're like, oh, okay, so people really like that type of content.
Yeah, I do appreciate the gamification of all of this. That's like if you're at all like me and like the achievement oriented like task list, it's kind of fun, but it can also be a little bit depressing. You're like, I have to stream for 500 hours total, or I have to stream for 25 hours in the last 30 days, or like those are goals for like someone again who's like trying to do this full time and not or make a business of it or whatever. And even this, you know, like the path to partner and stuff, like the affiliate thing, I think is fairly attainable level. If I remember correctly, this is like mine has affiliate from years ago, so I don't know if it's changed much, but probably has. But that's like not impossible on a for a normal person, I guess, who's not streaming all the time. But anything beyond that, you're kind of like, yeah. Whereas this is kind of just fun, achievement oriented. Like I think I have some podcast hosting clients or companies that I work with where similar thing, where it's like you've got 1,000 downloads. It's like it's just kind of neat to have those kinds of things celebrated, but it's not like a sit here and look at it forever. One thing I'll notice or I'll make note of is just for my own sake, not for any business reason, but with these episodes, these things that I'm doing, I do kind of track the like average viewers, new followers, unique viewers, not because I'm like obsessing about it. It's just a place to put those numbers when Twitch emails me the like summary of the stream. And then like maybe in 6 months, a year, whatever, I can look back and be like, oh, actually, this is kind of growing. It's kind of neat to see. But I'm not doing it out of like, okay, I have to, if I don't reach viewer, you know, average viewer number of this or whatever, I'm shutting this down or whatever. This is still very much for fun. But it is kind of an easy way to like just sort of see what's working, see what's not. But
Yeah, and I would say unless you're a very consistent streamer, like you stream 3 times a week or you stream however many times a day per week, like don't let that drive you crazy or whatever. It's like you say, it's a very light, kind of guideline. And so is this gamification of this page is I rarely look at it because my path is not, I don't, my goal is not to hit partner or anything. I hit affiliate and that was it for me. But yeah, if it's like if do you like getting Xbox achievements or Steam achievements, then you probably love this page.
Totally. I think for some reason I skipped down to monetization, but community is just in terms of like setting up people who you either I've obviously some folks, some friends or from years 7 years ago have been I've anointed or whatever it's set up as moderate anointed. That's a weird way of saying that. roles so that if they're in the chat, I could like, you know, I trust it. I don't think it does anything beyond like you could also help me. Oops, that's not the right person.
Yeah, you can set me as like a VIP or mod or artist. Like if people made your emote, you can set them as an artist or whatever. So,
Oh, gotcha. That's what that's for. Yeah.
yeah.
So
And
like,
VIP doesn't particularly do anything. It just makes people feel good, and you can give them special permissions in the in your bot if you have one. And then
right.
artists, same thing. Artists, you can give them permissions for stuff, but it's really just a little badge next to the name sort of thing.
Right. And
Some people give VIP to people just like a badge of honor kind of thing. Or they might make a game out of it, like, hey, you can be VIP this month if you do X, Y, and Z in the channel or whatever. So
right.
it's
Okay.
really
And the editor one would be actually dashboard access, I assume. Is that sort of editor level? Right. So if you're
So
sharing
I
the
can go
channel.
in, like I help Keith. I'm an editor on his channel. I can help him change his stream title or forget if he forgets something or if like change the game scene or I could even, do, I don't know, whatever. It's a little more power than a mod, so be careful who you give that to.
And then activity is kind of just like your what's happened, everything that's happened on your channel. So, and follower list obviously is the follower list. So, the content is where you can, I don't think I, this is fairly self-explanatory, just like what you've done, streams you've done, and then the collections are, this is what actually I don't get. Do you use the collections thing? It feels like a feature that's not like where you can organize streams
I
into a
don't.
collection.
I actually didn't really realize that was a thing, to be honest. I didn't look at it. So that's kind of cool. I guess you can collect, like big games by podcast, by whatever. I've never used it. So yeah, now I'm going to play with it when I get a chance.
Have no idea if it's worth because I've never seen someone else. Maybe it's on their dashboard, maybe, or like their homepage
Oh,
into a
maybe.
collection because I could feature a
That would
collection,
make
I
sense.
guess. Oh, yeah, you'd
Yeah,
have to
that would
add
make sense.
a.
Kind of like YouTube, how you know have your little channel,
Yeah, oops.
your channels or
Sorry.
your what do you call him?
Sorry,
Now
I'm
we're
getting.
echoed.
Yeah, there we go. Go away. Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. I might play with
Playlist, I
that.
guess, is probably, yeah, like that kind of idea. So,
Yeah.
and then Clips is the
The
fun one that's like, or at least I think is fun, and I know YouTube has copied this too with Clips as well in videos, but like where people can grab funny things that have happened, and you can obviously see the stuff that you've created or stuff you've created for other channels,
Yep.
and then the stories part. This is actually where it is interesting because they have integrated at least. Oh, maybe it's just on. I thought you could add it to your own Twitch story here, but maybe I'm thinking of somewhere else. But you can download it to like share it to TikTok or YouTube or
I think on
whatever.
mobile you can add it to stories,
Oh, okay.
if I remember correctly. But yeah, now they have it so that
Oh,
you can just post it straight to socials and stuff.
there it is. There's an actual add to story button.
There you
So
go. Okay, cool.
that'll
Yeah, and
just
then it's
appear
nice
in my
because
story.
now you can edit it also as a portrait mode if you want to, which it looks like you've done it for a few of them,
Yeah, that's
which
actually
is
a
really nice.
yeah, that's something that I appreciate Twitch doing really well with, where they, if I could just grab one that's like an older one even, I can just click the edit and then
Kano Crunch Fritos Wet Burrito.
there you go. But over here you can edit the layout and then this neat little interface of like, do you want just one or do you want to stack a couple cameras? So I can highlight Kyle here as he's laughing and then his brother if he stopped moving. for like a and then adjust size depending on what I want. So then you've
Yeah.
got the widescreen version as well as the mobile version all in one go, which is pretty slick.
Yeah, and it's a really nice starting point. If you wanted to add more graphics and things, you could at least crop it to have the two faces and then, yeah, have a quick view of if you share that, to another a platform or something or editor or whatever. But
Yeah.
this is a good feature that I'm glad Twitch has added.
I'll just this is so nobody should go to goodstuff.fm. We had the domain and then we let it go and then it got bought by a porn site and then now it's I think dead maybe, but don't go there. But Good Stuff was the podcast network we used to have and Kyle and Kenny, I just a little hype for them. They had this the morning show they would do actually Tuesdays and Thursdays often and I think they're just like 5 years ahead of the schedule of far us 5 years ahead of time in terms of like people's readiness for something like this, because they were putting tons of work into it and
Next one, Kenny. Volcano Crunch Fritos Wet
anyways, Kyle would set up all sorts of games and stuff and we could never get the right audience for it, but yeah, I think it would go off really well now if they weren't busy with family
Yeah,
and
I
lives.
agree. Because like Twitch, it has its own category, and
Yeah.
YouTube, you can just co-stream, multi-stream to that,
Yeah.
and it would pop off. I think you guys should work into doing that again,
Oh, I know.
honestly.
I wish they could. They would. They're, yeah. Kids and things have moved. Life has moved on, unfortunately, I think, but they keep trying. So monetization, which is again, once you're at affiliate, you have access to this, I think is the
Yeah. So
model.
unfortunately, as affiliate, you have to run ads. There's no way to disable it, which is a bummer, and people just don't understand that, but it is what it is. And there's two kind of popular ways to do it. If you want to maximize your revenue, you have it like this, where it's 3 minutes per hour. You can either do 3 minutes all at once at the beginning of the hour or whenever it is. I forget when it is. Or 1.5 minutes of ads twice an hour, every 30 minutes or whatever. Or 10 seconds of ads, like 6 times an hour, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Lots of different ways to do it. We don't know what's the best way, honestly. I've chatted with many friends, and it's never great because if you leave it so that there's more ads frequently, then people will get pre-rolls when they visit your stream if they're not a Twitch Prime, a Twitch Turbo subscriber or member or whatever.
Right.
So that might put them off because then they have to sit through 3 minutes or a minute of ads before they even see your content, before they even see your stream.
Right.
So I like to run it where I have 3 minutes of ads every 60 minutes or whatever, but people won't have pre-rolls, so they can at least pop in and see what it's about, sort of thing. But you might get an ad when you come in from a raid too. So it's very, I think Twitch needs to kind of redo this and think about raids and stuff like that. So I don't
Yeah,
know what's
'cause
the
especially that first impression is like a big one for yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I like especially if you're like me and you like there's definitely an appeal to like, ooh, I can make some money off of this or whatever, this little silly fun thing I'm doing, but I feel like you're yeah, I've had mine on automatic 'cause I haven't really dove into this at all, but I know I
Yeah.
didn't even realize some of the times that ads were running and people were like, "Hey, I just came back from an ad." And it does kind
Yeah.
of break up the stream and yeah. I get the business case for it as far as they have to pay for it all somehow, but
yeah,
hopefully you can.
Now the nice thing is the bots, the Twitch alerts and also Stream Elements and other bots will alert you in OBS. I'm sure Ecamm will have the same thing when the ads were going to run, so that either you or a mod can snooze it. If you're like, say you're going to raid out to someone,
right,
you won't show the ads that right at the end because you want to get through. Or if you're doing like something important on the screen, you can snooze the ads for 5 minutes. And I think you get like 3 times an hour of snoozing or whatever it is.
Right.
So you can skip it for that time.
Luckily, there's a little alert. I think I'm sure OBS does this too, where if you try and close the streaming software while you're streaming, it doesn't let you.
Oh, it doesn't? That's good.
I've done it twice now where it's like, are you sure? Because you're streaming. You really want to quit? It's not great for viewers to have you just randomly disappear.
Yeah, that's okay.
So yeah, we're in ads and then bits and cheering. So ads is like the bigger money bucket, let's say, right? Bits and cheering is kind of like pennies.
I think ads is more the smaller bucket, if I'm honest. And I really need to like look at the revenue splits and stuff. I really kind of don't do that because it's something I do for fun. And it's not my main income. I think the best way to support someone is through bits because it's like a one-to-one. If you're in the same country, that is like US dollar to US dollar, Canadian dollar to Canadian dollar. Or actually, does Twitch pay out in US dollars? That's a good question for you.
I think, well, it shows pricing in Canadian. I think if my account is probably Canadian. I haven't actually got a payout yet because I was telling you, I think that we started this channel years ago, like that Good Stuff. It was Good Stuff channel. I rebranded it now just to tag on to the affiliate level status that it had in case I got any amount of money. And then I realized there was actually 60 some US dollars in the account because the minimum payout is 100, I think, or maybe it's 50. I forget which way.
I think it's like 50 or 60 now. I just sent you some to see eventually. Since I pay, so in US dollars, because I'm in the US, 100 bits is $1, right?
Right.
So that is the best way to support someone if you want to give them the most money out of the currency that's there. And it's also, you purchase the bits through Twitch with like your credit card or checking account or whatever. And it's kind of like the safest way to send money through to support someone on Twitch. Right. And then there's subs, which if you're an affiliate, the streamer as an affiliate can receive subs. And I think it's for affiliate, is it a 50-50 split of like $5.99 US dollars, something like that. So it's not as great because Twitch will take half and you get half. And it doesn't get better as it's tier 2 and tier 3. So it's kind of like, try not to really support anyone in tier 2 and tier 3 unless you just want to flex because they're not going to get any, it's not really a better split or anything.
Yeah.
And then there's the ad revenue, which is kind of small, I think, considering. Right.
So. Yeah, I've seen some of the larger streamers will have like subscriber only chat where if they have to be paying obviously whatever it is, $5-6 a month to subscribe to them, and then they're allowed to chat, and that's kind of one way that they lock whatever, make it exclusive-ish, right?
And yeah, probably I think that's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're like have tens of thousands of people and you need to like kind of lock it in on focus on something, then sure, put subscriber mode only. But if you're just kind of an average streamer, I don't see the reason to do it unless you had something going on.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So basically, like I would have thought that subs would be sort of like the primary goal. Not that it's not like nice, obviously, too, but bits and cheering would be sort of like the best way to, like you said, to support a streamer, if, especially like a one-off, you just want to give them effectively like a tip or a large tip or whatever.
Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong. There's also...
We're not lawyers or financial advisors, so don't
not at all far from it. And then there's also a lot of people have tipping through a third-party service like Stream Elements tipping or coffee or Buy Me a Coffee. It's basically PayPal and Stripe. They of course take their own cut, so I don't know what the advantage would be of either one versus Twitch bits or Twitch subs. Mm-hmm. I think subs is still the worst off because you only get like half, but I think coffee has like a 5% or percentage it is. And then some people just put up a Throne wish list and you can just buy it off of Throne and send it over to the streamer safely. They don't share the address or anything. It's kind of like an Amazon wish list.
Oh, gotcha. Right. That's what's...
Yeah. So Throne is pretty cool. I think Throne also takes a cut, of course.
Yeah.
I have a couple things on Throne, but I've never had anything purchased because I don't really show off my Throne list. But yeah, some people like this way because you can just flat out have items that you wish for, or you can have the community pool together money for a specific item, like a, I don't know, like a chair or something big, yeah. or yeah, camera sure. or whatever.
Yeah. Something to improve your stream or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, camera, webcam or something. Yeah, you can have small stuff too.
Yeah.
Gift cards. I haven't really taken advantage of that because, again, I don't stream consistently. I do this just for fun. And yeah. So if I was more consistent, if it was my full-time thing, I'd probably pay more attention to that.
Yeah, and speaking of someone who's, I have a, like years ago, again, through podcasting more than anything else, but set up a Patreon because that was the primary thing at the time. And there's people who are supporting me there who... I don't even know, it's not that I don't know them anymore, but like, I haven't done anything with my Patreon for a while. I've hung on to it primarily because it's on like an old legacy plan. So it's like cheap. They take a less of a cut, and there's services I don't have, but I don't need them. And so it's just an interesting thing of like, every so often I kind of remember that I have this and I feel guilty that I am not doing more. And at the time it was kind of just like, supporting me in whatever creative things I'm doing, and so thank you, obviously. But yeah, it's just important to think about some of those things before you, just like we're talking about with community and Discord, like the longer term impact of doing that. And obviously I could just shut it down and say thank you for your support and whatever, and yeah. Part of it's because they supported us through our podcast network. Anyway, all that aside,
yeah,
it is just something to think about longer term, beyond just like I'm gonna get rich because I set up a Patreon or a Throne or a whatever.
Yeah. Because you have to also give benefits for people giving you money, essentially. Of course, they want to support you anyway. Mm-hmm. So even people like my friends, they God bless them, they still subscribe to me, even though I haven't streamed in a few weeks. But if you're just generally setting up like a Coffee or Patreon, Coffee now has memberships. So that's actually kind of something I did. I made a what's called a 1-bit club. And I took that idea from this guy, Emmanuel Morel, or whoever, a small web or indie web blogger has I don't know how he pronounced his name, hopefully I pronounced it correctly, but he had the idea of having like a $1 a month club. And so you set up either Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, coffee.com, people can support you for $1 a month, just because, right? So mm-hmm. I set that up as an alternative if like I felt, because I felt super guilty for like taking subs or whatever. I know people do it generously and they want to do it, but to satisfy my guilt, I said, hey, if you just want to support me on just in general for like $1 a month, here's a way to do it. And people have donated one off a coffee or $1 a month. And I'm so grateful, like even for the two or three people that have subscribed. So that's an alternative way to do things too. You can have like a coffee alert or Patreon alert on your stream. I don't know right. if Patreon does alerts, but you can have that pop up. Yeah, see my little $1 a month club. You can put that on like on your website, your socials, your Twitch panel thing, your bot, and make that a way to support you instead of subs or whatever.
Yeah, especially as as people are like less familiar maybe with, like I'm thinking of the people who aren't like as Twitch savvy, bits feels like this weird like currency I have to think about, and how does it translate to what I'm actually giving them and all that kind of stuff, whereas something like that is very simple, obviously just like here's $1, here's $5, whatever it is. Each month. Yeah. And so
yeah, and cool. they take a cut, of course, but
yeah.
It's just more direct, it's just nicer, and you can use that everywhere, not just Twitch.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah. And so how does that tie into, this is the one that's always confusing to me too, is like viewer rewards, which are the mm-hmm. like as you're watching, I think I have it on, someone correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's like as you sit in a channel it kind of just rewards you for spending time, but it's not like there's no monetary benefit to me and there's no monetary benefit to the viewer. Obviously it's just kind of like a little fun thing, right?
Right. So there Twitch has what's called power-ups inside the Twitch channel pop-up thing here, where you can't disable it as a streamer, which is kind of annoying, but they have like message effects, Gigantify, and on-screen celebration. So it looks like you might have the defaults. Those are a few bits to cost. They cost a few bits for you to use them. So say I wanted to make something happen on the screen, I pay you 40 bits on the thing and it happens. So right. you do get a benefit from that as a streamer. If people use the bits to do that, again, you just, if you don't want to use it, you could just make it some absurd amount and pop them down, whatever. So I wish we could disable that because I don't really need to use those. But separately, the channel point reward system is more to just gamify and have your stream be fun. So you can do anything, really. You can customize it to be like one channel point or one lemon, as your stream has it, to like to do a clip. And then you make a command to make it easy to clip something, or make a command to put on sunglasses so that it's hard to play the game and you can see the goofiness that happens when you're playing a game, or put on a silly hat, or do some body squats, which is something I've thought of for myself to do some, add some physical activity to my stream. I have some that are make some fun effects on the screen happen, make some glitter show up, do some sound effects. And they also can tie into third-party extensions like Blurp or stream stickers or whatever. There's a whole bunch of fun things you can do. So that's more to like make the stream entertainment, gamify it if you want to, but that's optional because even a lot of big streamers don't use that. So, yeah.
It's a fun way. Yeah, definitely the, I know, I think you have this, I think, and I know Megatron does too, like just, she can be playing a game and then randomly a sound effect comes in and it's basically you're rewarded for watching a certain amount of time. You get a certain amount of points and then you can spend those basically. So
exactly.
Yeah, like you said, gamification sort of, and silly, of course, but fun.
Yeah. And you can make it so that you do earn revenue, like Blurp. You can make it cost bits instead of use channel points, so that it costs 50 bits or whatever to play a certain sound, or especially if you have like a game and you want to be spooked, you have to, you can make that cost a little bit more. So it's more of an incentive to have people pay for it, but scare you because you're a scaredy cat or whatever.
Yeah.
Not that I'm talking from experience. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff you can do with the extensions and channel points.
Right. Because what people may not realize, I mean, I assume they would connect this, but like you're, while I'm streaming, if Twitch sends an alert or whatever, I get the sound blasted, you know, whatever level I have it set to, obviously, but blasted in my ears when there's a follower or a bits or whatever. And so, again, if you did a Blurp thing with like some scary sound or whatever, it would just kind of randomly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemingly appear and scare you or
make you laugh. And you can have it so that you don't hear it, but it's more fun when you do.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. So, yeah.
Exactly. And then emotes is the other one that's kind of like you can customize. This is where, again, some of this gets a little overwhelming when you're first setting up a Twitch channel, even way more than it used to, because it's not just streaming. You can have all these kind of add-ons and customizations and things for your channel. But how do you describe emotes to someone, and what do you recommend as a sort of starting point?
So emotes are a fun way to give an incentive for someone to sub to you as the streamer. It's probably the most popular part of Twitch culture is emotes. So I think follower emotes are a new feature as of like a few years ago for Twitch, where just for following, you get 5 emotes and you can use them within the channel while you're watching the streamer. Mm. So yeah, you totally should add some follower emotes. Yeah. And then so when people subscribe, there's the tier 1, you get 5 by default. Now you also get 5 animated ones. You can even just upload a plain emote and animate it within the Twitch dashboard. If you didn't have an animated version of it, you can have like a hype emote or something, which is a really nice feature. You get some bonus ones because you're using the Twitch alerts, bonus animated slots, and then you get a spare emote for tier 2 subs and a spare emote for tier 3 subs. So it's kind of like a showing off point. If someone's a tier 3, you can use this special golden version of an emote or something, which is really fun. So yeah, it's just a way to kind of show off your channel's personality through emotes. Like you can have a bunch of lemons posing different ways or whatever, you know, lemon rip or lemon LOL or whatever. I have a theme now. Like I switch my theme all the time, which I shouldn't. But right now I'm a bunch of potatoes because I'm a potato gamer. So you could also see across Twitch when you're in the browser people's personalities through their emotes. Like some people love dragons, some people love potatoes, some people love you know, I don't know, whatever hobby thing. So it's just fun.
So here you can see like on your channel the various and there's some that are locked because I'm not a subscriber, presumably.
Yep. And then some you have because you're a follower.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And you should be showing up on my stream. I don't know why you're not. You're on the shelf, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, for sharing the, yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. Looks like people found us anyways. And then anything, like, as far as the one other one I had was extensions. I think, like, drops is kind of a Twitch thing for, like, do I need to enable that? I probably don't, really. Or is it worth?
You don't need to, no. It's if you're playing a game and then the game has a certain incentive for people to watch. Say you're playing Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
And Fortnite has drops enabled. If I'm watching you play Fortnite, then I get the benefit of the drop. Some little charm or some sort of little fun thing in Fortnite. So it's an incentive to watch a streamer for the drop. So
yeah.
That's up to you.
I know the Fortnite one I was looking at, it was like, for a skin, you have to watch for at least 60 minutes or whatever of, you know, different people playing Fortnite, which is a funny.
I think it's fun. Yeah. I say leave it on unless you really are opposed to having people get your drops. So.
And then extensions was the other thing, just maybe in wrapping up-ish. This is where something like the blurp thing would be, right? Where you'd add? Or is this different?
Yeah, no. This is where you enable it through your Twitch channel. So you have to decide what kind of thing you want to do. I think you're limited by like 4 or 5 extensions just because of the way it lays out on your screen. But I have blurps and I have stream sticker because they're the most fun. And with both of those extensions, you can either use bits or use channel points to redeem stickers and sounds on the person's channel. And they're pretty popular.
Right. And so then they would be, that would appear on stream. And for some reason, I have a Destiny overlay from years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The only one I have activated is the Prime extension.
Yeah. So these are all your extensions, like a Prime reminder, like if you want people to remember to use their Prime on your channel. That's a little box overlay that shows up.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe at one point you had some sort of Destiny plugin or something.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the people we shared the channel were streaming some Destiny as well. So it probably
was
helpful there. So
there's so many. There's some like little virtual pet thing that I was curious about trying one day. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
How it works. But yeah, there's so many. There's ones for like voice mod stuff. There's if you want to just show off like a leaderboard of all the people that have thrown bits to you or like chatted the most, you can have a little extension that has a panel on your page and people can see like who's the highest chatter or who has spent the most money on your Twitch channel.
Right.
Which is fun.
Oh yeah, there's the blurb one.
Instagram feed. Yeah, there's so many things. It's great.
And panels are what's on your channel, like below your stream, and a component is, I think, what's on stream, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I think you could see it on my channel if you have it open. The blurb is like a little overlay on the right side. Or you can go to your own channel.
Yeah.
And then you have to enable it, I think, to show either as a panel or you have to go onto the regular twitch.tv/lemoncasting page.
Oh, like to my page. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then not this dashboard.
The old one.
Yeah. That's the old one, too. Yeah.
Quickly mute.
There you go. So it's on the right side there. If you click on the blurb icon on the top of the, so scroll up to your face on the and then blurb the little splatter looking dude, the little pink and white icon.
Oh, there. Yeah, overlay. Okay. Oops.
There you go. I see the delay. Okay, cool. There you go. So if you click on that, then you'll be able to search the person's search the blurb library for different sounds, and then you can either pay with points or bits, depending on how the streamer set it up.
Yeah. Okay.
You can make it cheap. You can make it expensive. It's up to you. But they are fun if you wanted to be interrupted with sound effects constantly.
And why would?
So just
really? Yeah.
Just be careful because you might not want to capture that for your podcast.
Right. Yeah. Because, for licensing or whatever, it might not be a thing. And you can turn it off per stream, I guess.
That or if you're having, like, a more serious conversation or whatever. I don't know. But, people can now. I don't know what it's set up by default. I don't know if it's bits or channel points or whatever. But
yeah. Okay.
It's definitely fun.
Yeah.
We all love to troll each other with it, so.
Yeah, exactly. To me, that's the fun part of doing that. So, cool. Well, is there... You've given a lot of information here. We've kind of breezed over some and gone deeper into other ones. So is there anything you've thought of or can think of that we haven't covered that we worth touching on, or we can always come back another time and chat. But
yeah, I would love to come back and chat. I love talking about this stuff. It's my most, it's one of my favorite hobbies, just streaming in general. Because I like the entertainment part of it, because I've never gone into kind of a creative field professionally. So this is kind of like my outlet in that world. Gaming, cosplaying, traveling, and sharing it with people. Because although I'm an introvert, I kind of like to meet people online. So it's kind of a protected way to do so. Yes. And I say, if you're kind of curious, oh, there's our friend Strat streaming. If you're kind of curious about like meeting people, but just shy about doing it like this is kind of a good way. There's lots of streamers who don't show their face. They only speak. There's some people who don't even speak. They just chat. Twitch is kind of a fun way to do this all for free to start, see if you like it. And that's why I started it. I wanted to meet people and kind of have fun and be creative. And it definitely lets you be creative. And then, of course, the monetary stuff is a bonus, but not necessary. Yeah, so I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, I mean, we could come back any other time and chat about stuff. I love talking about it.
Yeah.
Just as a chatting point, not even for exposure or anything, you know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely not. Hopefully nobody's coming on here for exposure, because most viewers of a stream. But anyways, it is, yeah, it's fun. I appreciate you doing this and spending time here. And so, yeah, if you're following me, then you should definitely go follow Binary Digit over on Twitch if you're not, and follow through to her links and stuff. And what was I going to say? Yeah, join the Discord too. She's very generous. So they're very generous with explaining stuff, going above and beyond in terms of helping people figure out streaming or Twitch or Discord or all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, we love to help. We love the community aspect. We love meeting people, friends, you know, just hanging out, having a good time. We need to kind of share the love in this crazy world right now. So feel free to drop in and hang out if you want a buddy. Yeah, and we talk about all sorts of stuff. We're adults, you know. We support each other, mental health, everything, fun times, bad times, whatever. And we're all over the world, which is great. So thanks, Chris, for having me.
Yeah, awesome. All right, and for anybody who's watching this later on YouTube or wherever it happens to end up, I try to do this weekly-ish, but twitch.tv/lemoncasting. Sometimes I might try the multi-stream to YouTube in the future just to see what sort of happens there, but just more as a playing point. But youtube.com/@lemon sorry, I'm changing some of my names. At Lemon Podcasting, I think, is my YouTube name. Anyways, twitch.tv/lemoncasting is where you can definitely find me and then branch out from there. So thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.